A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Called the top of the zone. Astros don't like it out of the dugout. You're hearing a few guys chirp at Derek Thomas.
That strikeout against Jose Altuve was a two-seamer well above the zone. Altuve knew it, and he was not happy about it. Not happy about having that at-bat taken away from him by Derek Thomas behind home plate.
Hey, you usually don't see Altuve react that
sharp. Yeah, that was impressive.
I guess that was impressive, seeing Jose Altuve angry. Hello and welcome aboard Gallant and George on Wednesday, June 19th, 2024. Happy Juneteenth. The Houston Astros still stink. They continue to fall away from first place in the AL West. Now 10 games back after losing to the Chicago White Sox in a game where the White Sox had two hits. Joe George, it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Well, I'd like to amend a statement I made yesterday on the show. We were asked, what are the chances the Astros get swept in this series? I think Sean and I settled on 5%. I'm going to up that to about 60%.
60!
Well, Garrett Crochet's pretty good. We still don't know who's pitching for the Astros tomorrow.
Still not convinced that guy's a real person.
Justin Verlander's on the injured list.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things are great, Bob.
Do we want to go through all the bad and maybe...
Well, there's no good.
On a scale of how many Altuves, 1 to 10,
ooh,
how bad was this? The pitch that was called a strike on Jose Altuve.
Very bad.
That was, I would say that was about a 9.
It was one of the worst calls we've seen this year.
That's anti-shorts discrimination.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he called it for a tall person, so it's not acceptable in today's culture, you know, to be punishing someone because of their height. I'm offended personally.
Yeah, they say you can't keep a little man down because they're already down.
They're trying.
And yet Jose Altuve found out the hard way that justice, it's still coming his way for the crimes he allegedly perpetrated against all of baseball. So Altuve got ejected. The very next inning, Framber Valdez throws a pitch that should have been a strike. And hey, Joe Espada stood up for his guys, right?
Yeah.
Showed a little sass. Showed a little vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it sounded on the call by Space City Home Network. Joe Espada sticking up for the boys in blue and orange.
Altuve having a conversation with the second base umpire saying, hey, if you're going to call that on me, you got to call it for our guy, too.
That's it. Joe Espada's gone.
Well, let him have it.
That pitch was well within the strike zone. Altuve was saying something, and the second base umpire, Brendan Miller, told him to knock it off, and Joe Espada backing up his player.
No, you got to.
That's not a consistent strike zone from the top of the inning to the bottom of the inning.
I mean, that's the one thing they did right yesterday.
Yeah, congratulations to all the Astros fans that have been asking all season for Joe Espada to show some fire and to throw a temper tantrum on the field and get thrown out of the game. It really helped them.
In MVP Baseball 2005, baseball video game.
Good reference.
It would have worked because you could get ejected as manager in that game and it would give your players a temporary stat boost.
Yes.
This is not a video game, sadly.
Is that why people ask for it so much, you think?
That's why I ask for it.
I mean, it's the only thing that makes logical sense to me because there's no like real definitive proof that your manager getting thrown out helps you. Occasionally, it will work and you'll see players do well after it happens. I think that's coincidence.
Probably something Espada would want to do more of, though, Joe, given that there's a chance he has made the fall guy for this season. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being bad, 1 being good, I'm going to give that a 2. 2 Altuves. That was actually a good moment. for the Houston Astros.
It was a good moment. It did nothing for them.
It didn't do anything.
But you know what? Like, the first time he got thrown out, he was having the most, like, civil conversation ever and got thrown out of a baseball game. It was so stupid. This time, he at least, he kind of got his money's worth. You know, he didn't go, like, full Lou Piniella on him, or like the minor league baseball manager who was throwing out rosin bags like grenades back in the day.
If he had done that, I would have felt like yesterday was worth watching, because spoiler alert, Joe, and sorry to admit this, I only watched the highlights of yesterday's game. I didn't feel the need to watch a game against the Chicago White Sox, the worst team in baseball, because I assumed the Astros would take care of business, and the Astros made an ass out of me. Can't assume, because the assume, the ASS, it'll be you.
Yeah.
If you don't end up watching the game, I guess. I'm glad I didn't watch it. More bad in this game. They had 7 hits and scored 0 runs.
Mm-hmm.
0 for 5 with runners in scoring position. 7 left on base. I mean, it's been a season-long problem. I'm giving that 10 Altuves, Joe George.
I also give that 10 Altuves. Now Jonathan Cannon, one of the young White Sox pitchers on the mound, his last 3 games, he has given up 1 earned run. And one of those games he didn't even start. He looks like he came in relief.
But his ERA is in the mid-4s for what it's worth, and I don't care.
Yeah,
but like, Kyle Tucker can't play and is nowhere close to being back, or Yordan Alvarez is getting scratched after a day off for something family-related. You should be able to score runs off
nobody.
Of Jonathan Cannon.
They're one of the worst teams in baseball.
Worst pitching team.
And you know what? You are too, okay? I'm done with the charade. I'm over it. They're cooked. Like, there's still 1% of me that has hope, but that was pathetic, the whole performance. It's 10 Altuves, 100% 10 Altuves. Embarrassing effort by the lineup again.
I'm going to say they're at rock bottom instead.
I don't think we're there yet.
No, this is rock bottom. You lost to the White Sox. I suppose if you lose another game in this series to the White Sox.
I think you get swept by the White Sox. That's rock bottom.
But, well, when you hit rock bottom, I think you actually can get lower than rock bottom, right? I mean, we're talking about the absolute bottom, the absolute depths of despair. But I feel like it can get worse. But I would imagine that last night was a realization for the Houston Astros that this is rock bottom. They're 10 games out of first place in the AL West. The Rangers are doing everything they possibly can to give the Astros second place. They lost again. They've lost 5 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still tied for second place, technically.
Congratulations.
10 games back of the Seattle Mariners. At least you have the tiebreaker, I guess, of the season series against Texas thus far. More bad. How many Altuves is this? Justin Verlander to the 15-day IL. I'm going to say 6 because they have no pitching depth. And honestly, I feel like this could be, given next discomfort led to Christian Javier being out for the year with an elbow injury. I feel like with the Astros training staff, you never know what's going to happen next. They do keep things suspenseful, at least. But 6 Altuves, 15-day IL could very well be the rest of the year for all we know.
I was going to go 5 because I saw Jeremy tweet this about, you know, Verlander's vesting option. If he gets to 140 innings this year, the Astros would pay him, what, $17.5 million, something like that, next season, because the Mets are paying half of it. I'm kind of at the point now where I don't know if I want Justin Verlander back next year, even if, like, you have hope that 2025 will be better than 2024. So that's why it's right in the middle for me right now for JV.
Okay.
Like maybe it's a good thing he's not going to be paid $17 million by the Astros next season.
Yeah.
I haven't fully decided yet. I'm not fully committed to that take yet. I am pondering it of just like what is
how
best for the Astros in 2025. Is Justin Verlander part of it?
How badly should we want Justin Verlander on the 2025 Astros?
I just don't know yet, because I'm still a sucker for looking at the back of the baseball card or the lineup card for this team. And seeing Yainer Diaz and Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker and Jose Altuve and saying, okay, Jeremy Pena, 2025, you still have Fromber, you still have JV, you have McCullers, maybe, Garcia.
Okay. Like, all right, Dana George.
I know, my God.
I know, that's my wife's name.
I was making Dana Brown.
I know, but there's still part of me that thinks that this is just an awful, awful season, and this is 2016 to what 2015 was for the Astros.
No, it's worse than that. 2016, at the very least, they finished in third place and they were above 500.
This is
nowhere close.
This is if 2020 happened in a normal season.
I know.
Where if you finish under 500, you don't make the playoffs and you can't salvage your way to making an ALC. That is the funniest part about the 7 straight ALCSs, is like, well, one of them, they were under 500 for the entire year, but it was only 60 games, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they've played more games now, and they have a worse record than they did in 2020. I feel like that's the marker of, like, oh, this is an obvious step-back season.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they were 10 games out of first place in the division was when the season ended in 2016. So this is as bad as it's been in this run. It's 10 Altuve's bad. The most angry we've ever seen him, for sure.
Is that anger going to light the Astros clubhouse out so we can have another season reset?
Or are they just going to unravel? No.
It's time for the players-only meeting. If there ever was a time, this is the time for the players-only meeting.
It's had to have happened. And just for some reason, all the reporters don't know about it.
They could have gotten it out of the way yesterday. Espada got ejected.
Yeah.
Just do it in the clubhouse.
Do it in the dugout.
Dugout, right, exactly.
I would be stunned if there hasn't been a players-only meeting yet.
I need to hear about the players-only meeting.
No, I think they need to leak a players-only meeting to Chandler Rome, to Brian McTaggart, to someone. Because if they have had one, they did a great job hiding it. And in normal cases, that's good, that there's no leaky ships. Actually, the people need to know that you're not taking this laying down.
I agree with that. But they're kind of taking it lying down. Like, they kind of are playing like they quit.
Yeah.
They're not. I'm just stunned that even with Tucker and Alvarez out yesterday, that against the Chicago White Sox.
The White Sox stink.
Exactly.
I mean, they had two hits. Framber Valdez had five walks in this game. Framber sucked too. I mean, I get it. It wasn't a bad outing by Framber's standards. He didn't melt down and have a disaster inning, but he had five walks. There was a moment in the game where Josh Miller had to come out and calm him down, and that was right in the midst of Altuve getting angry and Espada getting ejected. Okay, cool. I mean, they only gave up two runs, and he needs some run support, but oy vey.
I give that two Altuves.
Two Altuves.
Framber Valdez didn't have a full mental breakdown on the mound yesterday.
Yeah, it was just...
That's a positive.
It was just merely a below-standard start, not a, oh my God, what is wrong with this guy start.
Yeah.
Shrimpo Dana says everyone's hurt. There's no one to lead the players-only meeting. That's a fair point.
I mean, there's still... Like, Lance is there. Justin's there.
Lance McCullers leading the players-only meeting is what we need. I'm sure everyone will be really thrilled to hear about that.
We definitely would have heard about it.
Joey Loperfido hasn't played since Friday, by the way. So I would say that's three Altuves because he's not on the roster, and it's 10 Altuves that he's not on the roster because of the Astros' gross roster mismanagement. Losing to Martin Maldonado and Corey Lee and Max Stassi, so all of your catchers from the past, and Corey Jolks.
Zero Altuves. Happy for Martin Maldonado.
I like that. That's a nice spin.
He's the reason. You see those banners in left field by the Crawford boxes? That's all Martin Maldonado. I'm happy we were able to pay him back.
Yeah, zero. I like Corey Lee. He was a fun interview last year. I'm happy for Corey Lee. Seems like a cool dude.
Jolks. Go Cougs.
Yeah.
What would you rather watch?
The Cougs?
Another Houston Astros game or Houston Texans training camp? Because now we know when you can go watch Texans training camp. Answer that for us. 713-780-3776. It's Galata George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You are back with Galata and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The Astros are at rock bottom after yesterday's 2-0 loss to the Chicago White Sox. We do have some comments on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Michael A20 says, outside of all the bad calls, the Astros still had 9 innings to score 2 runs. What the heck happened to Pena? He walks with a swagger after striking out. Great defense, but his at-bats are terrible. And on top of all that, Jolks look good. We let him go. Look, Jolks would not have played this year. He shouldn't have played this year. Probably shouldn't have really played last year, but you did have some injury issues at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But it's very, very hard to look at the other bats in this lineup with any sort of positivity after yesterday. I get it. They're missing some guys. This is still one of the better lineups in baseball, just based off of name brand recognition alone. You have Altuve, you have Bregman, Jeremy Pena's having a good season. you should be capable of scoring at the very least three runs against the Chicago White Sox.
I mean, look, you have, what, Peña's 0 for his last 14, I think it is. So you're the thing with the Astros is they seem to just all be bad at once. Like early in the season, it was the bullpen. You know, you think back to like that third game of the season when Abreu can come back finally, and Abreu, Presley, and Hader are all not good multiple days in a row. Your rotation, as you're calling guys up and spot starts and just bringing them up for the first time, and your established guys are all giving up 5-6 runs in games. Now your rotation's pitching better for the most part outside of the Arrigetti start on Saturday, and your lineup has just completely collapsed on itself. That even with the injuries, you know, Yordan Alvarez, he's not been great with runners in scoring position. Jose Altuve has not been great with runners in scoring position. You continue to get guys on base, even like in last night's game, and they just do nothing with it. It makes no logical sense still as you're watching it, how a team can get so many guys on base, but just for some reason can't get anyone home. I really just don't get it.
7 hits, but 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position, 7 left on base. We did hear from Joe Espada, who was asked about the Astros' lack of production with runners on, and he said at the very least they're urgent. Okay. That urgency is really going a long way.
Yeah.
And more reasons to blame these struggles on Espada, even though I still think it's the fault of the players. We're doing what we did last year with Dusty Baker. The results are clearly different. And yeah, maybe somebody other than Joe Espada would be able to get more out of this team. But the players ultimately have to do their effing job, and they're not.
You can go back to like the first time we had Jeremy Puth on. We had talked about the lineup construction. And then it's changed so many times. They've put in like 50-some lineups in different, you know, orders this year. I'm over all that stuff, too. It's the players. The players are just not doing their job. Like they just are. They're not. It's not on Joe Espada. Joe Espada, they gave up 2 hits yesterday, and they lost 2-0. Joe Espada, like...
But you're not a Joe Espada guy.
I'm not, really. I think he's made a lot of mistakes, but games like yesterday, I think it's really unfair, whether it's A.J. Hinch, Bo Porter, Dusty Baker, Joe Espada. It is unfair to blame a manager in the game of baseball on a game like yesterday. What else is he supposed to do?
Yeah.
Call the home run play? Bunt?
Get ejected? Oh, wait, he did.
He did that. He checked that box ball.
So what's a better watch? Because I'm at the point now where I don't feel like watching the remainder of this series against the White Sox. I'll watch the series against the Orioles, but I feel like this is a bad product. You're investing your actual time in this team. It's a waste of your time. You're investing your money in this team, whether you're going to a game, paying the fourth most expensive prices to go to a baseball stadium in the entire sport, or you're watching it on Fubo TV, where you're paying $100 a month because it's the only place that you can stream it, or you're paying outrageous prices for cable. I feel like you're wasting your time. I'm at the point now where Texas training camp to me, which is still a ways away, is a more entertaining watch than Astros baseball.
Oh man.
Well, that's where I'm at. I mean, look, I don't dislike Texas training camp. I like to be out there, smell the fresh green grass and be in that 100 degree swelter because I'm built different.
I will say I've never gone to a training camp, so.
You will learn more at training camp than you will learn at any Houston Texans media availability for the entirety of the year.
Yeah, I do think that I'm going to venture out there with you for a few of these because for the 9 a.m. ones that are before the show.
So they announced their practice schedule, and you can actually go to these games. I was flipping the dial a little bit to see what the other people are talking about, and one station in particular was talking about the schedule, and it was every single segment, and I wanted to hate. But I was thinking to myself, you know what? The Astros stink so much. Talking about this Texans training camp schedule is clearly the better programming.
Yeah.
So their first open practice, July 18th. They'll be available for you to watch July 23rd, 24th, 26th, 27th, 29th, August 11th, August 21st, and August 22nd. And there's going to be some practices in Huntington Valley, Ohio. There's going to be some practices in Houston against the Los Angeles Rams. That's August 22nd. I am not being sarcastic or bleeping with you at all. Houston Texans training camp is more of an enjoyable watch out in that swelter, out in the heat.
Man.
Not even an actual game than Astros baseball right now.
You know, like our love for baseball is very different, right? Like I love baseball.
I cannot stand it when the team that you're covering on a daily basis stinks.
But I'm with you. I'm really with you.
Come to the dark side.
Yeah.
Ignore the sport entirely like we did from 2011 through 2015.
Yeah, training camp. Like, I'm ready for training camp. I'm ready for football. I'm ready to talk about guys in shoulder pads and helmets only. I'm ready to see C.J. Stroud throwing passes to Stephon Diggs and how many Kamari Lassiter breaks up in practice.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm excited about.
I mean, we could talk about what we saw yesterday. C.J. Stroud. He's hosting a football camp.
He is.
And Terrell Owens is there.
He is.
And he doesn't throw Terrell Owens the ball.
Oh.
He threw it to the kids. Terrell Owens was open in the back of the end zone.
But CJ's for the kids.
CJ is for the kids. He's all about teaching life lessons and making every single person in Houston a better human being, bringing them closer to the Lord.
Yep.
I love it. Truly. I love it. But I will say, you know, if we want to overanalyze CJ Stroud at a children's football camp, is C.J. Stroud going to be able to handle Stephon Diggs if he's not willing to throw the football to Terrell Owens? I mean, if he's not throwing to the diva wide receiver at a child's football camp where Terrell Owens, I'm guessing, is more wide open than an 8-year-old, if he's not going to throw it to him there, is he going to throw it to Stephon Diggs?
To be fair, there was like 58-year-olds on the field. So C.J. was really just finding the most open player on the field at that time.
But there was Terrell Owens.
T.O. was the most open.
T.O. was the most open.
Just chuck it up there. Give him a chance.
He might have been out of bounds. Like we got to watch the replay.
It might have been illegal.
T.O.'s feet. T.O. might have touched him out of bounds first, back into play. That's a penalty.
Did a ref throw his hat up in the air?
I didn't see a ref throw his hat.
I didn't either, but C.J. is the gamer. C.J. knows the rules of the game. He knows if T.O. touched out of bounds.
He knows where all the pieces on the chessboard, all 50 of those 8-year-olds. He knows where they are.
Yep.
Now, we're doing this in jest, but I will say, on a serious note, Terrell Owens was mad he didn't get the ball. You can never change Terrell Owens. I kind of respect it. He's pushing 50. Still looks great.
I'm gonna say I watched this video right now from Will Kunkel of Cal and T.O. just chatting up. If John Metchie's underwhelming, does T.O. get a shot here? Wide receiver.
That would be pretty funny if they actually decided to give T.O. a shot. But I think there's zero chance in hell they would do that to arguably the worst teammate in NFL history.
Would you rather bring in a 50-year-old matured Terrell Owens or Tim Tebow to your camp?
Tebow?
Why?
Oh, give me Owens.
Yeah, give me T.O. all day.
Just for the quotes.
T.O. would poison that locker room so quickly. In fact, I think T.O. would be such a bad teammate that the entire locker room would gang up on T.O. and not want him to be a part of the Texans within 3 hours.
Hey, but you know, maybe
brings them together.
Yeah, exactly.
Unifies them.
You know, or C.J.'s such a great leader that T.O. falls in line for the first time in his life. He joins the swarm mentality.
All I want is the first Terrell Owens was made available to Houston media today. Here's what he had to say. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I just want the sound bites. It's July. It's June right now.
June, Sean.
But when he's doing training camp, it's going to be July, Joe. I know because they released the schedule.
Good point.
Watch the video that Will Kunkel posted and tell me that Terrell Owens isn't upset that he wasn't thrown the football because C.J. Stroud threw it to some kids instead of him. I just love that he's never changed. I love it. Be you. Be true to yourself. And be all about loving me some me.
Yeah, don't ever change. Just be you. Oh, he's probably there because of...
Be you.
Is he there because of Nico?
I don't know why he was
there.
Is
he still represented by... I don't know if T.O. still has Scott Boras as his agent, but that's Nico Collins' agent.
You mean Rosenhaus?
Yep, I'm an idiot.
He's football.
Same person.
Boras. Washed.
Yeah.
If there was...
No, Scott Boras... I mean, Drew Rosenhaus, not washed.
Okay.
He got Nico Collins paid. Scott Boras, confirmed wash. Drew Rosenhaus, not.
Well, if he gets Terrell Owens a job, and Terrell Owens, let's be honest, was clearly lobbying for a job of some sort to Cal McNair. I mean, we all know who he is. I'm sure that if they were asked about it, they would say, no, we weren't talking about that. I bet T.O. said something just to see if Cal was interested at all.
I mean, the guy who replaced Jack Easterby, he just left for a new job in Washington.
I was going to say
team chaplain.
I was going to say Tebow, Reggie Jackson, Andre Johnson, Jeff Bagwell, J.J. Watt, Biggio, Jim Crane, Cal McNair, question mark?
Yeah. I mean, maybe
can he make his own council of former NFL players?
That's a great question. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, who's soft in the world of sports? Is Rory McIlroy soft for withdrawing from the next three PGA Tour events? And a fantastic rumor in college football that I want to be true. Soft boys, stick around. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of that one time that Ime Udoka said of LeBron James and his bitching at the referees, soft-ass boy. We do this every single Wednesday at 12:30. Who's been soft in the world of sports? We talked about Rory McIlroy withdrawing from the next three PGA Tour events after his collapse at the U.S. Open, the missed putt on 16 and 18. Is he soft for pulling himself out?
I'm going to say no. I'm a no on this one, Paul.
You're big mental health 2024 guy, huh?
It's just like it's the only sport besides like tennis that like is a major sport where you're on an island. You have no support, you have no team, it's just you and your caddy. Everything that goes wrong is your fault. Like there's no one to blame, there's no one that drops the pass. So I kind of get it. Also, what he's like got divorced, filed for divorce. Then had to go back to the court and ask and petition for that divorce to be stopped so he could stay, not get divorced from his wife. Then he has the collapse. I kind of get it. So I'm going to say no.
There's a chance that this has more to do with what's going on at home than the actual golf itself. These combined together lead to him pulling out.
Choking like a dog at the U.S. Open didn't help.
I think not talking to the media, even though I have a problem with it, is softer than not playing in the next couple tournaments.
Agreed.
Because as I was watching him storm out, like they kept showing him as
it seemed like he was mad Bryson won in the moment.
Oh, see, I read that as, oh my God, I just choked on the last hole. I just choked like crazy on the last hole.
Putts.
And I have to stand here just in case I still have to play another hole.
And talk about somebody who left the PGA Tour. He's the biggest defender of the PGA Tour for the Live, Laugh, Love Golf Tour, who just won the event. And also is likable now, perhaps weirdly more likable than me. That transition has been very funny to observe as someone who's not a diehard golf guy. I think Rory's soft for not trying to get up and play the next weekend. It's a very, I get it.
You're on an
island, but the best way to get over this is to get back out there.
As I was watching him, like, die in the little cool down room that they have, I was like, I would never pick up another golf club again. I'd be like, bleep this, I'm out.
I think they're mostly irrelevant golf tournaments coming up too, so it's not like he's missing anything big, I don't believe, over the next couple weeks. So that's also where he might not have played in most of these anyways if he won.
Yeah,
he also got paid $2.5 million to finish in second place, I believe, so you should just kind of suck it up a little bit. You still make $2.5 million. We're all jealous. So I'd say, yeah, more soft for not talking to the media, not as much for not playing. But I understand why you feel as soft for not playing next week.
Next up in soft boys, German police have issued a warning to English fans ahead of the Euros, encouraging them to smoke cannabis instead of drinking alcohol because it would make them calmer and chilled out. Also, it'll likely be an arrestable offense if the English sing their children's song that's a football chant now, 10 German Bombers. 10 German Bombers makes reference to German bombers in defensive action by the Royal Air Force during World War II, sung to the tune of She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain, a simple repetitive song. There were 10 German bombers in the air. There were 10 German bombers in the air. There were 10 German bombers, 10 German bombers, 10 German bombers in the air. And then it basically, the next verse is, And the RIF from England shot one down. And the RIF from England shot one down. I'm just saying what the chant sounds like, Joe. That's the chant.
That's awesome.
They will likely be arrested.
That's so soft.
At the Euros in Germany if they say that. Now, Germany has a very strict, we do not want anyone to ever reference World War II at all, to the point where...
Should have done it then.
If good call. That's a good call, Joe. They shouldn't have done World War I either, probably. You can't even wear a number 88 jersey in Germany because 88 has been taken over since the eighth letter of the alphabet is H.
No, that...
It implies HH. If you are wearing an 88, say, Michael Irvin jersey or Dez Bryant jersey in Germany, you will be asked to cover it up. I can tell you this because one of my friends was doing that and was told to cover up like he was wearing revealing clothing. They hate the World War II references. This is still soft, though.
Okay, so that I get the 8-8 thing. I understand.
Because that's in support.
Yeah, I understand that. What they're telling the English to do is soft, okay? I understand that in England, at Premier League games and certain matchups, you're not allowed to drink alcohol in the stands because things got so out of hand. You can only drink alcohol when you're in the
concourse.
On the concourse. I get all that, but this is soft.
You
can't tell fans how to fan.
I like the first part where they're like, just chill out, all right? Like, you're going to lose this tournament like you always lose every tournament. Like, just like, what? At a certain point, just chill, all right?
Soft boys, up next. The Colorado football program. So, a Colorado football player said that Deion Sanders made his entire team go support his son, Shador, the quarterback's rap career, when he performed a new single before a Lil Wayne concert. And supposedly this was the final straw for a few players that hit the transfer portal. The Sanders family has since denied it, with Deion Sanders Jr. actually creating a video to refute these claims using Colorado players in the locker room, saying that that never happened.
Oh, man.
Colorado, soft as a program for having a story like this leak, or for the idea of this possibly happening, which, if it didn't happen, it's certainly believable. I think it's believable. I don't know if it actually happened. I love the
100%.
Rumor.
It's 100% believable. And I like Deion's tweet where he says this is the best lie he's ever heard. But it is 100% believable.
That's what makes it the best lie.
Yeah.
Like the best lies are believable.
And I think that's why he's basically saying, he's like, this is a great idea, honestly. Like,
I should have done
it. If
that.
It hasn't happened yet, Paul, it might have started. Like, they might have started this rumor. Honestly, I still believe it. I think the Colorados, I think they're lying. They're being brainwashed by Deion Sanders, it seems. I believe.
I would believe that if he goes like, "Hey, I want you all to go out and support Shador Sanders, my son." You notice weird? We have the same last name. Go support him because he's opened up for Lil Wayne this week at the House of Blues or whatever in Boulder. I don't know what the venue in Boulder is. It might be their field on their campus, but I don't know if it was a fort. Like, if you don't do this, you're off the team.
Yeah,
I'm sure he was like, oh, go out and support my son.
Like, would you have any issues if Sark did this? Like, if Quinn Ewers was going to perform, like, song with, like, Morgan Wallen? And being
put
like,
this on
hey,
any other
you got to
go
up there and support my guy with Morgan.
Put this on any other team, on any other serious football team. You're like, what the hell? No, that'd be terrible if they did that. But
that's their quarterback, man. Support your quarterback.
Colorado.
You don't think C.J. Stroud's teammates would do this? That if C.J. Stroud was going to drop a bar at a Lil Wayne concert, that most of the Texans wouldn't be there.
But that's the thing; they would show up. They wouldn't have D'Amico Ryans tell them to show up.
Even if Deion was saying it in a way that was, "Hey, support your quarterback," I could understand why the players hated that.
Also,
don't tell me to go see something that's, let's be honest, probably going to suck. I'm assuming Shador Sanders is not a very good rapper because he is a college football player in his early 20s.
Like,
and not
guess.
A rapper. Yes. Yeah.
Feel like the odds are in your favor on that one.
Yeah. But also just the idea of of a coach being like, yeah, go out, support your quarterback with this thing. That the starting quarterback, that's like fine in most situations. The reason it gets hairy is because it is a father-son dynamic and is go support my son. Or it's like that's why you shouldn't play for your dad. Everyone, you should not play for your dad if you're in any sort of big-time athletic pursuit.
Next up in soft boys, is Les Miles soft for filing a lawsuit against LSU claiming the school's decision to vacate his wins as head coach cost him the chance for College Football Hall of Fame qualification? From what I understand, since the wins that were subtracted from him have made his career record go from 145-73 to 108-73, which drops his winning percentage from 66.5% to 59.7%, that is 0.3% below the requirement to be a College Football Hall of Famer.
You have to be 60% win percentage to get on the ballot.
That's so stupid.
I actually think Les Miles is justified here.
I agree. I think the College Football Hall of Fame is a joke, to be honest.
I visited it in Atlanta, Georgia.
Because to put 60%, I get the idea behind this, okay? Like we don't know what qualifies as a Hall of Famer for baseball, basketball, football. So I get they're trying to do some kind of standard.
There's also so many coaches.
Yeah. I'm not saying Les Miles should be a Hall of Famer. But, for example, the story that's being most talked about right now that's similar to this is Mike Leach has won 59.6% of his games. The point to me of a Hall of Fame is to, can you tell the story of this sport without this person? I think it's hard to tell the story of college football without Mike Leach. Like the way that he changed offenses, what he's done, the success that his quarterbacks have had. And look at what guys like Gardner Minshew and Dak Prescott did in college. And you're going to keep out Mike Leach out of the Hall of Fame over 0.4% and Les Miles? That's so stupid. He's 100% right to do this.
We'll see what happens on this front. It is kind of weird that when your wins are taken away, your losses aren't taken away.
Yeah.
That's what makes it a punishment.
Yeah.
I understand that. But it is kind of strange that you don't just remove the entire season. I would say in Les Miles' argument against him, don't lose all your games at Kansas.
Good
especially
point.
Seeing as Kansas is good at football now.
Don't take the Kansas job. And that should always be advice.
But
don't
they're
take
good
the Kansas
now.
Job.
Kansas is a reputable program now. I mean, they're not elite by any means, but they're good after Les Miles. So.
Also, like, go get a new job.
That would help, too.
Like, just go get a new job.
Someone you would think
coach.
Would hire him.
Just rack up some wins.
And rack up some wins.
The reason he got fired from Kansas is there's some allegations. Dating back to the LSU days, actually.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe he won't get hired super fast, but I don't know.
Two more in soft boys. Klay Thompson unfollowed the Warriors on all social media.
Soft, right. You're a 34-year-old man.
Yeah,
grow
this is
up.
So stupid.
Even Draymond called it out.
Whoa.
Rightfully so.
Respect for Draymond for calling it out. One last one. How many people saw the Edmonton Oilers fan who pulled up her sweater to show everybody at the Edmonton Oilers arena what she's packing? She's packing a lot.
I assume at this point the question is more, raise your hand if you haven't, and it would be a few people.
If you want to research it, I'd encourage you to not do it at work. Anyway, she, I guess, has been dealing with a lot of haters. Edmonton Oilers boob girl, is she a soft girl for this?
Oilers girl. Actually, my name's Kate, but
okay.
Here we are. So I've thought long and hard about what I wanted to say to everybody. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm at one of my favorite places right now. Come here to do some thinking, we'll call it. But I just wanted to say, you could be the most perfect, godly f***ing person in the world. You could save kittens from a river if they were drowning. Someone's still going to hate you. So you know what? At the end of the day, I got drunk and whipped my tits out at an Oilers game and they went viral. F*** you if you don't like it. Woo! Go Oilers!
Woo! Very unnecessary video, in my opinion. I think she's soft for not handling the hate.
Super soft.
Of course, people are going to get mad at you for that. And some people are going to love you for it. You've gone viral. Do you want to go viral for that? I suppose probably not. But it's very weird to go and post a video to social media under a bridge for some reason and to say all of those things.
Here's the thing. Dum-dum, you're a millionaire if you want to be. There's this thing called OnlyFans. Oiler girl OnlyFans. You're a bajillionaire.
That's a great point.
Like, you're a soft girl.
Marketing man Joe George here is encouraging her to pursue another career.
What's her name did it? Tiffany? The weird plane lady?
Tiffany Gomez has an OnlyFans now?
She's on Part of My Take all the time. So she's turned her life.
She was on Part of My Take once. She has not turned her life around. She has tried the content game. And once again,
but
as someone
who's making like bajillions, she is stupid.
She is not only is she simply a Dallas Vibe, she is a terrorist. She made terroristic threats.
She did.
No one should ever follow any of her terrible thoughts because clearly there is not a marble rolling around in that brain worthy of listening to. So she tried the content game. It didn't work out so well. Also, but we don't know this about Edmonton Oilers girl yet.
Yeah, but also, has anyone seen anyone hate it on her? Like, maybe like the Edmonton News or like their sports, is there sports talk radio in Edmonton?
Women did.
And they're just like crushing her?
Women do not support women. I guarantee you a ton of women went out there. Like,
she's not even hot.
I'm sure whatever, or also the local HOA. I'm sure if she ever has to deal with of an older woman, I'll say.
Yeah.
That they're like, man.
You've never done that
That's
before?
Why she says godly, I'm sure. I'm sure there's some.
Oh. Maybe fruits. Maybe she got kicked out of church.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure if she goes to church, but she probably got kicked out of church.
He is Joe George. Sean Mabes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George. Soft Boys every single Wednesday at 12:30. Coming up next, we remember Willie Mays, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. He passed away sadly last night at 93 years old. Which athlete would you go back in time to watch? We will give you our answer to that next. But first, Joe George.
Yep, coming up on June 29th, myself, Sean, Brian will be out at La Berge Lake Charles doing the bullpen there from 12 to 3. Come on out, join us, watch UFC 303 that night. The Astros, if you're still interested. Will be on the walls there as well. They have a 24-foot video wall, 19 Betty kiosks, 3 over-the-counter turntables, 22 slot machines. You can get food, drinks, whatever. The food's great, Chef Lyle. He absolutely crushes it. You can get your favorites there as well when you're having some beers. Yeah, Carbox, Crawford Bach on tap. You can become a Penn Play Reward member today. And when you do, you get perks while you're there. You can win up to $500 in Penn Cash every single week. If you're not a member, join today by downloading the Penn Play app or visit PennPlaySports.com/cover5. Must be 21 and up. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. When you want to go bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at La Berge Lake Charles.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
There's a long drive. Way back in center field. Way back. It is. Oh! Willie Mays just brought this crowd to its feet with a catch, which must have been an optical illusion to a lot of people.
Pretty crazy that for a man who hit 660 home runs over the course of his career, that catch in game one of the 1954 World Series is probably the most iconic play for Willie Mays, who is probably the greatest baseball player ever in terms of everything that he was able to do. I know some people will make the case for Babe Ruth because he was a pitcher and such a great hitter during a time where guys weren't really hitting for power to the degree that they, of course, hit today. But Willie Mays was an incredible player, and sadly he passed away last night, Joe, at the age of 93.
Yeah, I mean, and some of like the most incredible moments you have in baseball, he's around, obviously. I went and read Dusty Baker. He did an interview with Bob Nightingale, because Dusty Baker is everywhere. I mean, like he is connected to every single person and incredible story and bad story throughout baseball history. It's wild, but I was reading that, and it's sad, and he was being honored in a game coming up here pretty soon, so he obviously doesn't make it to that. But Willie Mays is just one of those guys that you hear stories about. Obviously, we're too young to watch, anything from Willie Mays, but you see the numbers, you see the accolades, and you just can't ignore like what he was as a baseball player.
The crazy part about that catch that you heard the highlight of, the Polo Grounds, which is where the then New York Giants were playing, has maybe the most bizarre dimension
so weird.
Ever. So it's not just that Mays made that catch basically completely over his shoulder. He looked up and he basket catched that thing. Center field at the Polo Grounds was 483 feet deep, where right field at the Polo Grounds was 258 feet. And ironically, later in that game, I guess it's not really ironic, but later in that game, the Giants won game one against, at the time, the Indians, who had the most wins in baseball history that year. The home run to win that game was basically right down the right field line for 258 feet. A 258-foot home run.
Like, who? I wonder, like, who designed that stadium?
I kind of miss baseball stadiums being like this. Like, being just completely bizarre and making absolutely no sense. 483-foot center field, left field 279, right field 258.
Just the get-in-when-you-can-fit-in era, where they're just like, I don't know, this is the size of the lot that we have.
I'm not going to lie, like, I still play MLB The Show, and sometimes I play at the Polo Grounds.
Because it's so ridiculous. Fun.
Because like you can hit it in the park home run with Yordan Alvarez like every at-bat.
It's like a mini-golf. It's like playing mini-golf baseball, where it's just so wacky.
Yeah.
Nikolai Papuski says it was for polo. I mean, that would make sense if they were called the Polo Grounds.
Yes.
I suppose that's the size of a polo field. I've never actually gone. One fun Willie Mays fact before we get into what we were going to discuss. His 500th career home run came in Houston, September 13th, 1965. Joe, you asked this question. Which athlete would you go back in time to watch? Who is number one for you?
Man, it's Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
like so much. I love boxing, mixed martial arts, and I got a little bit of Tyson that I remember watching, not a ton. Obviously, boxing is just not the sport it used to be, but I would have loved to see Muhammad Ali fight in person. Like, it'd be such, like, you can see the videos, and some of the movies have been good as well in documentaries, but that's easily number one on my list.
Interesting. If I were to go back, I'm going a little bit later, but same vein. Mike Tyson, while Mike Tyson was Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I would love to see one of those boxing matches that he had where he just killed a guy in 5 seconds.
Yeah, if you could also like take a pill of I don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Well, you kind of know what's going to happen, but you still like are surprised. You still have the experience of like, I can't wait for this giant fight, and it's over. That would be fun.
Man, I try to think for like baseball. I wish I could just be older and go back to like 98 to the home run chase a little bit.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, I used to love baseball.
Yeah.
That was when I loved baseball.
Like, I was six, but like McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, Griffey, all these guys who were just like these incredible baseball players. Yeah, they're juicing the hell out of themselves, but like just hitting bombs left and right. I would have loved to be older in that moment.
Was that 98 or 99?
98 or 99. I can't remember which one.
I remember vividly because in 99, the All-Star game was at Fenway Park and Pedro was on the hill. And Pedro struck out five of those guys in a row. And I was like, yeah, because he was my favorite player way back in the day. Someone's saying Babe Ruth. That's a very good one. I would imagine the novelty of Babe Ruth back during a time where dingers weren't happening a lot. And also, he was a really good pitcher.
Only guy who hits home runs.
Yeah.
the only guy in the league that
hits. It's almost like one of those sports conspiracies, too, where like not like there is disputed evidence that he actually was calling his shot in that moment. So kind of being there in person to see like if he actually was like calling his shot right there, that would be kind
of
cool.
So part of because my mind also went old to where they didn't have video and maybe didn't have awesome record keeping, and it is partially for the investigative purposes.
Wilt
Chamberlain.
I want to
bring a pen and a pad and count 100 points.
You're not 100% sure then.
I mean,
tinfoil hat.
There's the video.
There's video of like all these basketball games.
There's video of everyone.
Yeah, but that's the big problem. There's no video of Wilt.
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when Jerry West passed away. I mean, I think biggest crime against guys like Wilt Chamberlain, but also Jerry West, is that there are so few highlights of them because they did a horrible job of keeping video. I mean, really, they are very fortunate that first Magic Johnson and Larry Bird came into the league, and then Michael Jordan came into the league, because before that, really, the popularity was not there, even though we've got some great players who played during the early days of the NBA.
I mean, they really, like, and they literally used to tape delay NBA Finals games because they were that irrelevant at one point in time, which is crazy to think. I couldn't think of anything for football, honestly.
I didn't think of a specific player, but I would have loved to see, to go back in time, to see early 1900s football that led to Teddy Roosevelt saying, hey, you guys need to add the forward pass or you're done. Because guys were dying.
I guess 85.
So you want to see gladiator football?
Yeah, like 1900s football. Yeah, basically.
Like when they're on like the rugby leather helmets?
I don't even know if they had leather helmets.
They're just killing each other.
I mean, they're just destroying each other. And we're talking, also, this was an era where, I mean, your cake-eating Ivy Leaguers, like they were the ones playing football.
Yeah.
It was basically like Harvard versus Princeton. Imagine the smartest minds in America are playing football against each other, and they're just beating each other's brains.
They're all like...
The irony.
They're all sons of senators that are going to Yale and Harvard, and also one of them will die today.
Yeah. It's insane. Someone texts in Bo Jackson. That's a good one. I think this is a sarcastic one. Katina Mobley and Steve Francis.
We don't know. There could be a like 19-year-old listening.
Yeah.
2017 World Series Game 5 in the front row by the Astros dugout. Yeah, I mean, that's the best Astros game ever, in my opinion. Game 5 of the 17 World Series.
One of the greatest baseball games ever.
That game was insane. That day took a lot out of me because I remember it was the Texans-Seahawks game earlier in the afternoon, and that game was a barn burner. And then right after that game was done was Astros and Dodgers Game 5. And I was at the flagship station the entire day. Oh. I got there at 11, and I was just sitting in a room watching everything from 11 till, I want to say, like 10 p.m., and I was tired. I was just gassed after all that.
That's a lot.
I was tired just watching the game, just by itself, when I was just in a dorm watching the game.
I think it was Halloween weekend, too.
Yeah.
I might have been a little tired over as well.
Load management.
Load management, baby. All right. Galata George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it time for the Astros to be sellers? Plus, we heard from Dana Brown earlier this afternoon. We'll talk about both of those things next. First, let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina. You should be a buyer at the Highway Cantina. Why? Because there's so many awesome things there. Whether it's the 975 Tall Texan Margarita, the Large Marge, which is essentially a scorpion bowl of margaritas. You've also got incredible stuff ranging all the way from salsa. I know, it sounds so simple, right? No, the salsa verde at the Highway Cantina is second to none. On top of that, just the regular salsa? How about the fajitas, the chicken fajitas really stand out? You got incredible chefs, like highly qualified chefs in the kitchens that are putting together your routine fajitas all the way to wood-fired oysters and mesquite sausage. It's so good at the Highway Cantina. And the best part is it's right smack in the middle of downtown. It's right by the baseball stadium. It's right by the basketball arena, right by the soccer stadium too. And if you're working downtown, guess what? You got a place to go for happy hour. If you're looking to impress your boss or take somebody out on a date, the Highway Cantina is your one-stop destination. On St. Emmanuel, tell them Paul Gallant sent you by the Highway Cantina.
ESPN 97.5.